Before we get started in the message today, let's pray together. God, we are so grateful that we can still meet, that even though our building is closed, our church surely isn't. So we ask that you would speak to each of us right now, that you would help us to have open hearts and minds, and that any distractions would be put away, any misconceptions that we have about you or our lives or your purpose for us, that we be willing to put those aside and latch on to what is true and real and good. Thank you for all my friends and family that are part of New Hope, for our guests today. And at the end of this service, we ask that you would be honored and pleased. And we commit it to you in Christ's name. Amen. Well, happy Father's Day. I know there's some of you that are celebrating right now, and I hope it's really a good day, and that those of us that can will express gratitude to our fathers, and also be praying for them too. At the end of the service, we're going to have several announcements and things that I want to make sure you stay in the loop on. But one thing I wanted to mention, and it's a big thank you, your faithful giving to New Hope has really helped us. There was an emergency that came up recently with Lorton Community Action Center. They were in desperate need of protein to give to families. They've had a huge increase of the number of families that they serve. And because of your giving, we were able to take $7,500 from our budget and give that to help purchase the protein. For those of us that aren't dependent on groups like this for food, it might be easy for us to kind of be distant from it, but it is anything but that for the people that have been impacted by losing their job and resources through the COVID-19 crisis. A lot of these families, there's a woman named Teresa and her daughter that have been helped at LCAC. We don't want to lose the human face to what is going on, and we don't want to miss having a heart for those that in times like this really need people to come alongside them. So anyway, thank you. And if you've been giving, we're grateful. If you'd like to find out more about how you can support New Hope, our host will let you know. I promise you that the money you give will be used well. And if any point you ever want an accounting of that, we'll be glad to make that available to you. So make sure also to stay at the end of the service. We have some more things to mention. We're starting a new series now, and we're looking at these promises that God makes us. We're looking at what it means to have a relationship with Him, and what does the ongoing nature of that look like. Before I get into it, let me tell you a story. 2 weeks after we opened our facility on Ox Road, we hit a major, major problem. Our bank that had promised us the final $3 million of our project, which meant we could pay off all our contractors and vendors in full. Our bank called, and not only could they not give us the money, our bank was going out of business. They had hit in the 08 financial crisis. They got hit hard and were gone. It wasn't anything they deliberately didn't want to do. They just weren't capable of doing it. And it put us in a huge tailspin. We had built good relationships with our contractors and vendors. They had become friends, and now we owed them money and we couldn't pay them. And for the next several months, I and others, we did everything we could. I mean, this was more than months. This was a couple of years. Finding banks, going to banks, saying, is there any way that you can help us? We'll be good for it, but we need help. We need to be able to pay these people off. It wasn't just a matter of us being able to keep our facility. Sure, we wanted to do that, but we felt an obligation to the people that we owed. And we worked diligently at this. I know there was one point for me about an 18-month period. I personally spent 20 hours a week just pursuing banks, just dozens and dozens of banks. Finally, we found one. We talked to the vice president of the bank, he talked to the president, and they made us this deal. They said, if you can find people in your church that would be willing to sign up as guarantors of the loan, at that point, I think it was $2.5 million. If you can get guarantors for the $2.5 million, then we will give you the money. Now, that sounded good, but I was thinking, and our team thought, how are we going to find people that are be willing to sign over their house, their retirement, their savings, to guarantee this $2.5 million worth of loans? But we did. We had people that we presented this to the church, and people stepped up and they signed up. They went through the paperwork. They were vetted. They were approved. And everything was done on the up and up. And it came back that we had guarantors, people that were willing to give up, if we defaulted, $2.5 million to make the note right. We got that to the bank. We were thrilled. And the president sent word through his VP, not personally, but through his VP, saying he changed his mind. It was heartbreaking. We were so sure. We were right there, ready to have it happen. And then we had a promise that was broken. Here's the thing about a promise. If you look in Webster's or other dictionaries, promise, it's a personal statement of what you definitely will or won't do. It's not just a nice sentiment, but it's a statement that I definitely will do this or I will not do this. That's what a promise is. And the thing about promises, they're really easy to make. That banker made a promise to us. Now, some of you have been on a first date and you were promised that there'd be a second date. Crickets. Some of you have had job interviews and you thought the interview went well, maybe the second or third one, you promised that someone would get back to you. Again, crickets. Some of you, marriage vows. Promises were made before God and witnesses. Sometimes they were held on to and sometimes they weren't. Ads on TV promise you and me all kinds of things. We're in a season right now of aspiring political leaders that are going to make all kind of promises of what they will do if we bring them into office. Not all promises are kept. So we can become, if we're not careful, we can become jaded, skeptical, and in a lot of cases, just cynical. We just don't trust. I want to caution you, though, that when God makes promises to you and me, it's a very different deal. And we're going to be looking at in this series promises that he's made. This is an introduction to it. And I hope you'll stay with me through this. And I want you to take some time. Your take-home sheet will give you some passages to go through. I want you to dig into this. Do it individually. Do it as your family. Because this is, and you'll see in a minute how important it is. To understand God's promises, though, we need to be clear, very clear about two things. One is who God really is. What is his nature like? Because remember, a promise is no better than the promise giver. And God's nature is one that he is trustworthy. He's a God that has proven over time, we'll see this in a few minutes, that he is absolutely trustworthy. He is not dishonest. There's no reason for him to, and no evidence that he ever would defraud us or promise something he wouldn't keep. Second thing is, so about these promises God makes, well, you need to understand God's nature, what God is like, but we also need to understand accurately what these promises really are. If we're not careful, what happens is we fall prey to people that are selling us what we want to hear. And there are a number of people in my profession that will sell books and seminars and all kind of things, basically kind of promising you and I heaven on earth. And we're going to have a life that's healthy and we're going to be wealthy and it's going to be ease, it's going to be fun, it's going to be bigger and better. We're going to have all the great stuff. And this heaven on earth mentality is easy to buy into because it fits what we want. I'd like an easy life. I want a fun life. I want it to be nicer and nicer as time goes on. And there are great things God offers you and me, but never did he promise us an easy life. In fact, Jesus made some promises that were very different than that. Instead of an easy life, he said things like, if you're going to follow me, you'll need to take up your cross daily. You'll need to sacrifice if you follow me. There's going to be persecution you will go through at times because of my name. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. He also said, but don't be afraid. I've overcome the world. So when we look at a life that God offers us, it's often different than what our natural inclinations are going to be. And so if we're not careful, we can buy into promises God never made or nuances to them that he didn't intend. But understand this, and we're going to see this through the series, that a life worth living, a life that will have impact, and a life that at the end of it we will not regret is what God offers you and me. He knows our potential. He knows what our lives can mean and what they can cause to happen. And what he wants for you and me is lives that really, really matter. I'm going to give you two examples just to think about in this when it comes to this, the promises of God. And especially as we're thinking about what's been going on in our country and the renewed interest in Juneteenth, which is the celebration and remembrance of the Independence Day for those that have been enslaved. It's a reminder that slavery was abolished and how the hard-fought battle for that to happen. I want to mention two people that I'd like you to do some research on sometime and read about. One is William Wilberforce. Wilberforce was a follower of Christ. He actually became a follower of Christ later in his life, but he became a follower of Jesus. He was a member of British Parliament, and he spent 20 years fighting against slavery to abolish it in England. It was the number one cash business for a while in England, and he devoted his life to overcome that. It was not easy, but think of the benefit from his life. Another is Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman was born in the United States as a slave, found her freedom, and she could have easily just been grateful for her own freedom, but instead what she did is she was a key player in the Underground Railroad. And at least 13 times, she did covert missions to help free people that were also enslaved. I'm going to tell you that a life worth living is a life worth having sacrifices for, and a life worth putting up with some things that are very, very difficult. And God makes us promises along the way in this, and you'll see this in a moment, that promise that our lives, while not necessarily easy, will be well worth it. God's utterly trustworthy, and we can see this perfectly in the life of Jesus. Let me read this to you, and it's in your take-home sheet. I hope you'll take some time again, individually or as families, to read through this, take some time and digest what it means. Listen to what it says in Colossians 1. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. In other words, when we see Jesus, we're really seeing what God is like. I had a friend of mine years ago that said, "When it's like when she looks at Jesus, it's the face of God." And that's exactly what we see. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So if you want to understand if God is trustworthy, all you have to do is look at Jesus and then just look at what Jesus did for you and me. He sacrificed his life. The one who was not guilty sacrificed his life for those of us that are guilty. The one who was pure for those of us that are impure. The one who, he did not deserve any of the punishment he went through. He took ours on himself. It goes on to say, this includes you who were once far from God. You and I were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Every one of us are in the same exact boat, in that without Jesus' sacrifice, we would be lost and on our way to hell. But Jesus came and took our place, paying the penalty for our sin. Goes on to say, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. God has proven that he is trustworthy because he has done for us what we could never have ever done in a million lifetimes on our own. Anyone that would go to those lengths for us is someone we can trust. Hebrews 6:19 and 18 and 19 go on to say, so God has given both his promise and his oath. In other words, God, who he has given us promises, and not just a promise, but he's added to that in a sense. He goes, I am promising this on my own character. It's just meant to underscore it. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. He is trustworthy and he doesn't lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. So when we come to these things about God's promises, and when we understand what they really are and who God is, we can know this is solid and secure. Becky's drawn us a great picture. And by the way, we've missed it a couple of weeks. We're back in the saddle. And what this is you see a guy in a boat. Apparently he's really happy and he likes his baseball cap sideways. And his boat is firm and secure because he's got an anchor that's holding it tight. The thing about anchors is, if life is really easy, if life is calm and we're just kind of there, I don't need an anchor. If there's not anything moving me around, if there's no danger, if there's not any threat, I don't really need an anchor. But the truth is, this side of heaven, you and I do. We need something that we can trust in and hold on to because there is danger all around us. There are storms that are going to come our way. There are difficulties we're going to have to face. And there are going to things that come and that threaten our very existence. And what happens is with an anchor that is strong and secure, an anchor that is in the right place, I have confidence. Harriet Tubman, I hope you'll read some about her life. There was a quote Christianity Today did in an article about her. And this was her quote, and think about this in terms of this anchor. She goes, quote, I have always told God I'm going to hold steady on you, and you've got to see me through. I'm going to hold steady on you. She had her anchor in her faith in Jesus Christ. And God, because of that, I'm trusting you to get me through, to carry me through whatever I have to get through. It's a remarkable thing to think about, that we have this God that loves us, that is deeply for us, and he's right here with us. He gets it. Now, this is a woman that had been born as a slave, had been through horrible brutality, mistreated. She gets her freedom, is grateful to God, but she doesn't see that as the end goal. She uses her freedom as a platform to go and rescue others. If you look at Wilberforce's life, you're going to see a similar thing, a guy that could have easily lived in ease and comfort, and he could have avoided a lot of trouble in his life. But he believed that God had called him to something that mattered, and that there were so many people who had been treated so horribly that he needed to stand up and do something that mattered, and mattered trusting that God would carry him through. So anyway, we stand on the shoulders of some giants. So looking at God's promises, let me mention this as we get close to the end. God is fully aware of everything about my life and yours, including things like the circumstances we are currently in. He understands our motives. not just what we say, but he understands what's behind that. He understands the intentions of our thoughts and actions. He knows the challenges that we face. He understands the sin in our life and the weaknesses that we have that impact us. He knows about every one of our failures. He knows our fears. He knows our hurts. He knows our desires. There is not a thing in my life and yours that God is not aware of. Psalm 139, 1 through 4 says, "O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord." This is a promise that God makes us, that he is fully aware of you and me. And there's some implications of this, two that I want to mention. The first is, this should give us, many of us, some great comfort, that God really does know and get us when we're misunderstood by others, never by God. When we're unfairly judged by others, not given a chance to explain, God understands. When we're abandoned, God gets that. When we're gossiped about, God knows the truth. When we're ignored, we are never ignored by God himself. Please hear this. God is not just aware of my life and yours right now in intricate detail. He's not just aware, but he deeply cares. And he will never abandon you and me. And if he doesn't choose to rescue us from the specific circumstances we're in, he will give us what we need. He will give us everything we need to walk through them. We're going to be seeing that throughout this series. There's another side to this about God's awareness too. It should give some of us very serious concern. We may be able to fool others. We may be able to hide the truth. We may be able to rationalize or justify all kinds of things. We may be able to spin things in a way that look better for us. But God is never fooled. He's never blinded by anything we do. Sooner or later, the truth will come out. And if it doesn't come out in this time, lifetime we have here, it will at the end, where God makes everything right. We'll be looking at that too. I'm going to give you a quick illustration of this, and it's something that's happened recently that has caused a lot of people to change some of their thinking or at least open their minds. New York City, not long ago, there was a man named Christian Cooper. He was out bird watching. This is a pattern in his life. He'd been doing it for a long time. Came across a woman named Amy Cooper. Now, Amy Cooper is not related to him, although technically I guess you'd say they were, because they were both created by the same Heavenly Father. Christian Cooper is black. Amy Cooper is white. She had a dog that was not on a leash. He reminded her that the dog needed to be on a leash. She got irritated about that and angry. He pulled out his phone and videoed the interchange that they had. And during that, you can see her getting very ramped up, and then her threatening and then calling 911, claiming that this was a black man that was causing her danger and threatening her. In a sense, what she did is she weaponized prejudice. We know this because we've seen the video, and I'd encourage you to see it. But there are two things about this that are important. One is, when the video came out, Amy Cooper admitted she was wrong. She asked forgiveness, and she said, "You know, I don't want my 40 years of life to be defined by this poor, poor, poor decision I made." Christian Cooper, on the other hand, took a very high road. And he said, "Look, I don't think that someone should be defined by one moment. She was wrong, but I'm not gonna label her as racist. I'm just saying that what she did was wrong." You know, God sees everything in full relief. There's nothing hidden from him. A great comfort to those that want to be understood, and it should create great concern for those that are trying to hide. The pathway to experiencing the benefits of God's promise, all the promises God makes, are available to every one of us. Listen to this. 2 Peter 1 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And that marvelous glory and excellence is what he did when he sent Jesus to come and take our place, to sacrifice his life so that we could have our sins forgiven. And his resurrection proves he had the goods to do it. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises, which we'll be looking at in this series. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. And we respond to God's promises by humbly trusting him, recognizing that we need what he offers us. And with our hands open wide, our hearts and minds open, saying, God, use me however you want. Let me close with this too. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. Again, our hope, the anchor of our life is in Jesus Christ. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You and I need each other. The reason it's so vital to be part of a local church, why it's important to be part of a small group and have a couple of close Christian friends, is that our hope can easily waver. And we come alongside and we help each other. We remind each other what's true and right and real. And we call each other to trust God in the midst of whatever we're going through, because he is trustworthy. Next week, we're going to be looking at this idea that God has really, really good plans for you and me. Not necessarily for us to have easy and comfortable and wealthy lives and all this kind of stuff, but lives that are absolutely worth living and ones that we'll never regret when our time is up. Let's pray together. God, thank you for caring so much about us that you sent your son Jesus for us. Thank you for making available to us a relationship with you, not based on where we were born or our pedigree, but based on the fact that you are our creator, God, and that you love us and that you care about us, and that instead of turning your back on a world that turned its back on you, you came and sent your son. And if we will admit that we need forgiveness, if we will believe that Jesus came and took our place, and if we will choose to turn from going our way to follow you, in that moment, we can have a brand new life, becoming your sons and daughters based on the gift that you've given. And we now have access to every one of your promises because we have access to you. God, please speak to us. Those that know you, God, help us to live strongly within the privileges we have, owning our responsibilities to trust you. And for anyone here that doesn't yet know you, I pray that before this day is over, they will accept you as their Lord and their Savior. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Let's continue our worship together.